Good evening, everybody. We left off discussing last time the topic of variant nuskos, nuskashanas, and nuskashanas. Most notably, what we tried to do is sort where it is that nuskashanas actually comes from. We tried dating that. We tried figuring out who exactly were the rabbis who initiated nuskashanas, etc., etc. What I'd like to do this evening is try to figure out how to handle different nuskos within one family. I'm going to divide that into two parts. A child who has a different nusach than a parent, and a spouse who has a different nusach from spouse. Now, that seems awkward or strange. How could it be that a child will have a different nusach than a parent? And how can it be, exactly, and how can it be that, well, spouse is easy to understand. You could have varying customs from different families, and then they come together. So I would like to address that this evening, each of those two scenarios. But as we did last time, I really want to begin with the Magen Avraham, and that can be found in the first source on the page. The Magen Avraham famously quotes the Arizal, the Sefer Chassidim of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and the Talmud Yerushalmi, who all are very, very adamant that changing this clothes is not something that should be done. Although it's important to share a common nusach. At the same time, when it comes to nuskos, particularly, one should not veer from his or her particular nusach. If we take a look at the second line in the first source, in the beginning, the first word of the line says, Amna. Amna. Hamin hagim shenag b'shrashi atzila. The customs which exist in the context of tzila, ein l'shanos meminag mekama. One should not change the custom that exists or that you inherited. Why? Ki Yud Beis Shaar Mishmaim, there are 12 gates in heaven, Neged Yud Beis Shvatim, and each Shaar, each gate in heaven is corresponding to a different Shevet. V'chol Shevet Yesh Lo Shaar, each tribe has its own gate, U'min HaGlevat, and its own set of customs. 12 gates, 12 tribes, 12 sets of customs, 12 forms of prayer. Levad Mashinitka B'Gemara Shavah L'Kol, besides that which is explicitly mentioned in the Gemara, that everybody is subject to keeping, and that which the Gemara, the Magen Avraham, quoting the Arizal, quotes the Gemara, and the Sechas Yishalmi, Talmud Yishalmi, Afal pi shishalachnu lachem seder tfilos, even though we have sent you the seder hatfila, an exacting form of tfila, al tishanu meminig avasechem, you should not change from the custom of your family. That means it would be inappropriate, it would be unseemly, it would be unwise, and it would be wouldn't be justified and wouldn't be the halachically appropriate thing to do to change the custom of one's home. So if you're a child, you should adopt the minhag of your parents. We'll see how that relates to mother and father. And spouses seemingly should share the same customs, and we'll have to do this evening is try to figure out if that applies to tshuva as well. There's a monumental tshuva from Moshe Feinstein, which you can find in the second source in Or HaChaim Chelek Beis, Siman Chav Dalet, where Rav Moshe was asked by a Rav in Yerushalayim, Rav Asher Zal Rubenstein, Zechon Lavracha, who had a student who was trained in Ashkenazi yeshivas, who was brought up in Ashkenazi yeshivas. However, his father davened nusach tfar. So as he was a youngster and he was learning in Ashkenazi yeshivas, so he davened nusach Ashkenaz. But as he grew up and grew out of the nusach Ashkenazi yeshivas, and he was already a individual who was on his own, the question that Rav Asher Zal Rubenstein posed to Moshe Feinstein regarding this young boy who is now an adult, should he revert back to the custom of his father? The Yerushalmi says, the Arizal says, the Magen Avraham says, you shouldn't change your custom. So if you shouldn't change your custom, this boy willy-nilly changed his custom because of the fact that he was learning in an Ashkenazi yeshiva, the fact that he's now graduated and he's beyond the Ashkenazi yeshiva, should he revert back to the custom of his father and daven nusach tfar? That's the question that's posed to Moshe Feinstein. It's not a long shiur, it's a relatively short shiur. It's about a paragraph. We'll read through it now. And let's try to understand Rav Moshe's resolution response, and it's very much the totality of some of the things that we've mentioned until now. And Rav Moshe quotes the Magen Avraham that we just mentioned, and the fundamental logical reason behind why one should not change his or her custom is because the Magen Avraham says that there are 12 gates, and each gate is appropriate. There is no text which is authoritative and it's all-encompassing, which is absolutely positively correct. Because we'll see that there are varying words that were added or excluded, And as a result, no nusach is exactly the same. Yes, brachos kitzaros can't be changed to brachos arukos can't be changed to brachos kitzaros. But nonetheless, when it comes to different aspects, certainly of Shemoneh Esrei, you see the added words, there are words that are excluded, there are parts of the Birchas Kriyashma, certain words which are added or certain words which are excluded, and we'll see some of those differences more specifically as time goes on. But nonetheless, let's see how Rav Moshe handles this question. So take a look just to summarize the question, the first paragraph in source 2. B'davar, this is Rav Moshe, right? Shavichu mishpacha shel ha-chassidim. Your father comes from a Hasidic dynasty. Shemispalim b'nusach shekornos ha-nusach svar, that we have colloquially come to call nusach svar. But since your father dwells in an area, in a town, in a vicinity, amongst a synagogue and shul, and you as a child also grew up and were brought up studying in yeshivas where you learned and spoke and read Nusach Hashanah, your father didn't want to confuse you. So while you were growing up and then an adolescent and a minor and a young adult in your yeshiva when you're learning and you're studying Nusach Ashkenaz, so your father didn't want to confuse you. So you stuck to Nusach Ashkenaz. But now, when you are mature, maybe you have to revert back according to halakha to back to Nusach Sfard. Because you have become accustomed to davening Nusach Ashkenaz. How do we handle this question? So take a look where Moshe says and deals, and this is a tshuva where Moshe takes a jab, by the way, pay careful attention, at Nusach Sfard. He does not think, Moshe, based upon other sources, that Nusach Sfard is an authentic
Nusach. This is his whole answer?
I cut out another paragraph, but yes, essentially this is it. Short tshuva. Moshe has some very, very long tshuva, where he divides them into anachim and sections and subsections and subsections, and otherwise he has some very short tshuvas. Why he writes some short and why he has some long, I have a theory, but maybe for a different time. Depends. It seems that Moshe had an agenda here, and he knew what he wanted to say, and he said it, and he didn't feel that it deserved maybe more of a lengthy response. And you'll see what he does. He does a job on Nusach Sfard, and he tells this young man exactly how he should proceed. Take a look. Hini Yadua, it is well known, Shekol Anshe Poland, Bungarin, Varisland, all those who come from Poland, Hungary, or Russia, Levad Mekomos HaRachokim, Karim V'Kavukaz, I don't know what those two smaller areas or places are. The Kadomahim B'nei Ashkenaz. We know everybody from Poland and Hungary and Russia are essentially the descent of Ashkenazic lineage. Second line. Asa Hasidim. Even the Hasidim in Poland, the Hasidim in Hungary, and the Hasidim in Russia also were really coming from Ashkenazi descent. The Ash Nispashta Shitas HaChasidus, until Hasidus developed and picked up steam, Hispalalu Kulam Nusach Ashkenaz. Even Hasidim davened in Nusach Ashkenaz. Achar kach Hiskhilu Roshe HaChasidim, but the leaders of the Hasidic movement began Lahanig Lispal B'Nusach Hachar Beza Shinuin, began changing the Nusach to what is now called Nusach Sfar. Now notice, and we discussed last time, we couldn't exactly pin who was the one responsible for creating Nusach Sfar. We mentioned that one of the early Hasidim, the Rebbe, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, B'Shnei Zalman Liadi, certainly printed his own text of the Siddur, and he's from the forebearers of Nusach Sfar. But nonetheless, we'll take a look at what Moshe says now. The Nimsa Sheila Hakshiv Shinui Minog Mashi Hiskalta Litfalo Nusach Ashkenaz. Don't think that would you switch from your father's custom of davening Nusach Ashkenaz to the yeshiva's customs of davening Nusach Ashkenaz. Don't think that you changed a custom. You didn't do anything wrong. Even though your father and some two or three generations prior to your father were davening in this new age Nusach called Nusach Sfar. It's the Nusach Sfard contingency. They changed the custom. Everybody was davening Nusach Ashkenaz for hundreds and maybe even 1,000 years according to Moshe. And those who came along and changed the text of the Seder from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfar, the question is on them, not on you, who is davening Nusach Ashkenaz. Continues the Moshe. We don't know who gave them the wherewithal to change the Nusach HaKavua, Nusach Ashkenaz. Neged HaYushalmi Shevi HaMagin Avram, Rishim and Tamachet, right? Based upon source one, the Magin Avram quoted Yushalmi, that you should never change your custom. So if the custom existed for hundreds of years that there's something called Nusach Ashkenaz, and everybody in the world is davening Nusach Ashkenaz, who gave the rights to those individuals to change the Nusach Sfar? So you didn't do anything wrong with davening in Nusach Ashkenaz. The question really exists on the forebearers and those who created Nusach Sfar. Continue. If you remember that last time we saw the Magid of Mezrich, he explained that the reason for Nusach Sfar is because it's the 13th gate. For anybody who doesn't know their Shevet, do you recall that? I don't know my Shevet, you don't know your Shevet. So Nusach Sfar covers all Jewry because we don't know what Shevet we come from. Remember the Chassam Sofer felt that that was an absolutely disgraceful and inappropriate and not a good resolution to the question, because Kohanim, we know they're Kohanim, Levium, we know that they're Levium, so they should know their Nusach, but they don't. So it can't be that Nusach Sfarad is this Nusach that is the all-encompassing Nusach, and he quotes the Chassam Sofer HaKaim, Simen Tezayin should be so far as this. So Moshe continues, and supporting this young man who is now an adult, to daven Nusach Ashkenaz. Further, V'gam Mavazah, even without that, says Moshe, HaNusach Shemitzbalan Ena Nusach Sfarad, Shehetik HaRambam. If you recall to earlier Shurim, the development of the Siddur, as we saw it, from Rav Amram Gong, to Rav Saji Gong, to the Rambam Nabudraham, that's what's called Nusach Sfar. That's the original and authentic Sfaradic text. The borrower, says Ramosha, the Barov Hadvaram Hu Kenusach Ashkenaz. What they are calling, or what we are contemporary calling Nusach Sfar, it's not Sfar, because if you compare it to the Sfaradic Siddur of the Abu Jahab and of the Rambam, you don't see a comparison. If you compare Nusach Sfar to Ashkenaz, so they changed it from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfar. So this Nusach Sfar doesn't carry any weight whatsoever. We can't find any source for it. Ein Beishal Avram, Shizachas Bikola Shinui, Mithin Tan, Benaf and Klau, Shulahosid, Lanaksha Shinui, Beishal Avram tries to reconcile where Nusach Sfar comes from. The Klauze Lo Nire, Ki Ma'ain Lo Desvara, E Efshalomar Zed the Lafamim Hamosif Garer. Moshe thinks that the resolution of Ishul Avram, that to add to the text, is not considered to be really changing it. But Moshe says, no, it's not true. Hamosif Garer, if you add something, it's even worse. Now Moshe finishes in the last line. I'll call upon him even after he really, lets the Nusach Sfar camp have it. He still concludes, I'll call upon him Ein on the Me'arim Al Elu Shishina. We're not going to really give those who changed to Nusach Sfar such a difficult time. Certainly they had some sort of basis and reason for allowing the change in text from Nusach Sfar, from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfar. Aval Kishachar wrote to Lachzor Lisbal Nusach Ashkenaz, but this fellow, this young boy, who now has the question, should he return to Davin Nusach Sfar after all these years of Davin Nusach Ashkenaz, or should he remain Davin Nusach Ashkenaz? Says Moshe, Shuhunusach Aboseinu Rabboseinu Vade Rishai Sharichoz V'Kadmuso, absolutely, positively, he should stick with Nusach Ashkenaz, because that is the authentic Nusach Hatzila. And Moshe, without any questions, and doesn't leave a rock unturned, or certainly doesn't leave any room for question what this fellow should do. Rav Moshe clearly, number one, understands that Nusach Ashkenaz is authentic. He has problems with Nusach Sfar. Number three, he certainly does not say that it's a Nusach that shouldn't be dominant, because certainly there is some basis to where they were coming from. Rav Moshe doesn't explain what that basis is, but at the end of the day, Nusach Sfar is considered to be, on some level, an authentic Nusach Hatzila, but certainly Rav Moshe is from the camp that that is what should be done.
So what would he say if they came with a reverse question?
Good question. Meaning if you would go from Nusach...
Yeah, he grew up in Nusach.
It would seem to be that Rav Moshe would tell you to daven Nusach Ashkenaz.
It would seem that way.
It would seem that way.
Rav Moshe
would
daven
Sfar.
That I doubt.
I have to answer.
No, impossible.
After reading that,
just
one
impossible.
Impossible.
If Carmel is Crimea.
Oh, thank you.
Has is the Caucasus.
Oh, very good.
So
excellent.
What's called in the Talmud Rechokim?
They're so Rechokim that I didn't even know where they were. So thank you for helping me with that. That's very good.
Well, you can see. Sounds like Crimea.
It does sound like Crimea, that's true.
So Rabbi, did you get the right thing? Your father was
Ashkenazi. So what we discussed last year, exactly.
Now you're doing Ashkenazi.
Right. Tell my father, but yes, that's correct. I had the same question.
Right.
My father Dan's Mitzvah Sfar, and I grew up in Yeshiva that I'm Ashkenaz since I was a kid, since I'm in elementary school, to high school, through Yeshiva Gdola. I mean, I never was in a place because it's primarily Mitzvah Sfar, it's primarily the Mitzvah of Chassidim. So I switched to Nusrat Ashkenaz, and I stuck with Nusrat Ashkenaz to the chagrin of my father. My father would prefer I have Nusrat Sfarad, because that's his Nusrat.
No.
But in shul that we grew up in, it was Nusrat Ashkenaz, and Shiva that I downed up in Nusrat Ashkenaz. So I'd say it's Nusrat Ashkenaz. It's a good question. We will get to Hataras Nadam. It's a very, very good question. Yes, we will get to Hataras Nadam.
So how about Alan's question about if the person was doing Sfarad and then changed to Ashkenaz?
So that Ramosh would be okay with. Most would be okay with that.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's what this is about.
Yeah.
Sorry,
it's
hard.
That's the question. Moshe would be, would follow that. Now, what I want to share with you now, if you turn the page to side B, you will see this is not only the position Moshe Feinstein, but other Gedolei Yisrael also seem to have had the following suggestion as well. This is a copy of Sefer Tzvi L'Kilchos. Tzvi L'Kilchos is written by Rabbi Fuchs. A contemporary Talmud Chacham Yishalayim who wrote a classic work, Tzvi L'Kilchosa. In the fourth chapter of the Sefer, he deals with some of the questions that we just began with. So if you take a look in Sif Aleph, he quotes verbatim the Magen Avram, right? Yesh Birkin, Yubeit Chalonos, there are 12 gates, there are 10 windows in heaven, and every shade that has its own avenue or path that Tzvi will go through. And the end of the second line, he writes, Alkein loy l'chol ochad l'achzik b'nusach avosav u'bimin hagehem v'lo lavel nusach acher. Therefore, it's appropriate for every individual to stick to his own nusach. You should not change nusach. Because every nusach has its place in heaven. So if I already have a nusach, it means I have a place in heaven. So why would I go change to somebody else's? I'm okay. Now he continues and he quotes from Achronim that changing nusach is a violation of the pasuk in Mishlei Shlomo Melch al tito shtaris inecha. The pasuk Shma Bini Musar Avichal al tito shtaris inecha is the sort of text that the Gemara brings in the Sechus Pesach in the fourth paragraph, Malkin Shinagu, as to why and how and the reason why one should not change a custom. Yet this is the custom of your father. That's the custom that you should stick with, and therefore one changes his nusach from one to the other would be violating that. Now, if you take a look, Rav Moshe didn't inject that pasuk, right? If you're familiar on this side, Rav Moshe didn't cite that pasuk. Now, in his sources, in his footnotes, he quotes Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe or Chaim Chela Gimel, Sunna Samal Tav, who writes that. I looked there and I couldn't find it. But Rav Moshe doesn't seem to say that that's the problem with changing nusach. Adrav, Rav Moshe, from going from Sfar to Ashkenaz,
thinks that's
absolutely okay. So you have to wonder about that. Look in the second sif bays here. Mi shahorav, this is exactly Ramosha Shaila. Mi shahorav ahore horav, one whose parents or grandparents, shinui minusach avoseh, changed from the nusach of their parents. So if one's parents or grandparents changed the nusach atfila from their ancestors. V'avru l'nusach achar. Oh, afilu ninu mil hispalo klav. Let's say one's parents or grandparents stop davening, right? Many of those who came and crossed the shores into this country were not interested in them. They didn't daven. And the children and great-grandchildren were inspired and began davening. So what do I do? What's my nusach atfila? Where do I start? What's my beginning? Olav levarer shoresh mishpachto v'ta'eda elei shechuto. One should try to figure out what the place of origin of my family is. Is it Russia? Is it Poland? Is it Lithuania? Where am I from? The lach serval is pala benusach avosav, and should go back to daven the nusach of my original ancestry. Now that seems to be the opinion that Rav Moshe says on side A, right? Because he says the fact that your father davened nusach bard. The truth is, if you look back, generations before that, it was Ashkenaz. Now, if that's true, so really everybody should be davening Nuskach Ashkenaz according to Rav Moshe, because Nuskach Ashkenaz seems to be the most authentic and earliest tefillah.
There were guys who went from Spain to Poland.
Yes.
Yes.
So, in 1492, and after the Inquisition, when many Jewish communities became dispersed and wound up in like a melting pot of a community, these questions became very real, and that's why the title for my year is "The Melting Pot Tefillah." You'll note that Moshe also had to deal with Shas in America, where everybody was coming after the war from a variety of different areas, from as far as Russia to as far as Lithuania and Poland and Hungary and everywhere in between, and the Crimea, and these far-flung places. So how do you daven? How do you handle that situation? So it's a two-pronged question. On the one hand, it's a question within one family, and the other part of the question, which we'll have to deal with next time, is within the synagogue, within a shul,
right,
when there's so many different people have different results. That's going to be the focus of the next class.
So let's say, if you can do genealogy research, and you have some grandfather that came from Spain, so you could daven in Sephardic.
So the likelihood of you finding that historically is less.
Not good.
It's a very small chance of being successful. If anything, if Moshe's presentation is that really Nusach Ashkenaz, everybody was davening Nusach Ashkenaz, and certainly historically that's true, because when the Hasidim created the Siddur and the students of the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov and the Magen Mezrich and the Baal HaTanya, you know, for those 100, 150, 200 years when that change and transfer was taking place, you're talking about in the 1500s and 1600s and the 1700s, well, how was Jewry davening before that? So on the one hand, you have the Siddur of Avraham and Gorm of Sadi going to the Rambam, and that school, which was a school of Sardic school, which you would call maybe today the authentic Sardic Siddur. On the other hand, we discussed the Machzor Vitri and the Sefer HaChassidim and the Rokeach, that group of the Ashkenazi school, and the Hasidic Ashkenaz were davening what's stringently called Ashkenaz. So the Nusach Sfarad is a variant which is caught somewhere in the middle, and for that reason, Rav Moshe didn't think that was appropriate.
The Italian davening, which is older than any of them, and maybe more recognized than the Yemenite davening.
So again, every community feels that their Nusach is the most correct and the most authoritative.
And we know those are the oldest communities.
We know the oldest communities, but again, the first Siddur dates back even earlier than that. So what you have to do is follow the Siddur, which we've been doing, and try to figure out which Nusach is the most authoritative. But at the end of the day, this Magen Avraham, which we're citing, says that there are various different Nusachs, and they all have their place in heaven, and every Nusach that individuals have has appropriate path and will hit Shemaim in the appropriate way. That's a good point. Right. But that doesn't speak to the authenticity of one Nusach or the other. That's just a halacha that teaches me that I can daven in another language. I could daven in Spanish, French, Portuguese, and Chinese, and Japanese also. It doesn't speak to Nusach necessarily. All that means is that I have an ability to daven, but that nobody would say that that's a Nusach. I can't call English a Nusach. I can't call French a Nusach. The text of Hebrew, that is what the correct Nusach is. So here, this is really Rav Moshe's approach. If you look in source 2 and in footnote 4, so he quotes from Moshe Feinstein, and more than that, he now quotes from Yosef Shom Eliashiv, here in Shlita, but now Zechon Levracha, who writes, "Shanusach ha-mekorim shal b'nei Ashkenaz hu nusach Ashkenaz, ulo'olam yeslachto elah." And Eliashiv says that an individual who, just like a Moshe, the same thing as a Moshe, Nusach Ashkenaz is most authoritative and authentic tefillah, so for whatever reason you wound up, this is your question, Mr. Harwitz. This is your question, sir. If an Ashkenazi boy winds up learning in a Hasidic yeshiva, Dami Nusach Sfar, or he winds up in Parat Yosef in a Sephardic yeshiva, so B'yasha says you should turn back to Ashkenaz when you leave. Or maybe you shouldn't even switch when you're in yeshiva. That will deal with next week. If you're in a Sephardic yeshiva and you Dami Nusach Ashkenaz, how do you handle that situation? That we're going to leave for next week. So you see, besides for Moshe in his Chuvan Arachayim Chelek Beis, the Nusach Dal and Rabbi Yashiv Zechon Avracha has the same approach as well. Now take a look, skip to Simon Gimel on the same side of the page. Somebody who was trained as a youngster to daven in a particular Nusach, she'eino Nusach Avosov, that is not the Nusach of his parents and grandparents, like Rav Moshe's Tshuva, the Kashal of Lassar, Lenusach, and the Kori. And it's hard for him to return back to his original Nusach. V'shoy l'hamshech u'espala b'nusach bo'chunach, he's permitted to continue davening in the nusach that he is familiar with and that he was trained in. This is very similar, obviously, to what Rav Moshe says and what Rav Yashim says, but for a different twist. And this Rav Moshe didn't indicate in his Tshuva presentation, which is the fact that you got used to the tefillah that you were davening, it's shogu l'fiyah. If between the ages of 7 and 8 and 17 and 18 you're davening a particular nusach, even though that's not the nusach of your parents, so what, at 20 I'm going to try to change that? That Rav Moshe says, and that, if you look in footnote 5 on the bottom of the page, is a psak that the disciple of Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky gave to a Talmud Torah lehispala benusach Ashkenaz ach shahorav benusach Sfarad. Even though this individual's parents davened in Nusach Sfarad, once he left the Talmud Torah, he should continue davening in Nusach Ashkenaz. Yamshech lespal kvi shechunach. He should continue davening in the Seder Hatzila that he was educated in. Ve'en bekach mishum al titosh Torah imecha shezel Torah imecha didan. The school almost takes the place of your mother. It becomes your mother tongue, it becomes your mother language, and becomes your parents' tefillah. The school, the yeshiva, takes on a role in parenting, and certainly when it comes to the nusach tefillah, and therefore, this is a psak he quotes from the Sefer Beis Rebbe, from Rav Discipler. And he quotes, and he continues to quote from Chazon Ish, who also had this approach as well. So it seems to be almost unanimous that certainly amongst the Ashkenazi Gedolim, and I think you even see this amongst the Sephardic Gedolim as well, the same approach, that whatever Nusach you were trained in, although it's different from the Nusach that your parents have, or the Nusach that you were born into, if that's the Nusach that you're comfortable in, you could switch with it, or if that's how where you wound up, even if it's not necessarily the Nusach that you're comfortable with, but you don't have to change back. And that is the first item on our agenda this evening, when it comes to parents and children, and father and son, and the approach of how to stick to the tefillah and switch to other nusach tefillah. The second item on our agenda this evening is the issue of spouse. Young man, young woman get married. The young woman is from a Hasidic family, and she davens nusach Sfarad, and she marries a young man who's Ashkenaz. So what are our options here? So if you put everything on the table, you have four options. Now, when it comes to minhagim, and this is a larger conversation which we'll have to have at a different time, when it comes to minhagim, when a wife has one custom and a husband has a different custom, they're married, so what do you do? How do we handle that situation? So there are four options. Either they can choose the chumras of both, they can choose the kulas of both, the woman can follow the husband, or the husband can follow the man, or follow his wife's custom. Those are the four options on the table, right? If you put your math caps on, those are our four options that we have. And the question that was posed to Moshe Feinstein is not when it came to Nusach HaTefillah specifically, but he was asked about a young couple married, and each husband and wife, custom and kala, each have different customs. What should they do? Now, the big area where this comes up significantly is Pesach, exactly. The difference between Sfarad and Ashkenaz and Kitniyot is major. I mean, she eats rice, he doesn't eat rice. He eats rice, or she doesn't eat rice. What do you do? How do you handle that? And there are a variety, that's on, obviously on the lower scale, but there are a variety of different issues that come up. And amongst those issues are, a woman, does she have to take on the nusach of her husband? How do you handle that situation? That is the fourth focus of the next part of this evening's presentation. Take a look at Moshe's tshuva here. Man and woman, husband and wife, who come from two different countries. Every constituency, every area, every region has its own separate nusach, as opposed to a different country. So how do you handle this? Ask Sir Moshe. Each, some are more stringent, some are less stringent, some are more lenient, some are less lenient. The Nisu Zuluzu, and these two individuals married. The New York. You see how Moshe smells New York, by the way. Nun Vav Aleph, Yud Aleph Reish Kof. That's very important for Ksuvus, and for Gittin. That's the high school, New York. Shehamin Hagim Adain Chalukim, right? They're in New York. They're marrying in New York. Their customs are different. So Moshe, in short half a breath here, says a major thing, which is that it's okay, even though you live in New York, to have different customs. It's not that New York is considered to be a city with one custom and everybody's subject to the customs of New York. Moshe understands that New York is a melting pot of Jewry. Everybody came from everywhere and under in New York, so two shuls can have two different customs because it's considered to be Shnei Batim Dinei B'Achas. It's based upon a Gemara Nivamos, Machlokas Abayin Rabba, that as long as there are two Batei Din is in one city, one Bez Din can pass in one way, another Bez Din can pass in a different way, and that's okay. That's not part of the negative command in the Lava Losis Gozudu, that you can't be practicing conflicting customs or halachas, because each Bez Din has its own locale, and that's okay. Continues, and the Achronim say this, that the same is true when it comes to two different shuls. How can one shul daven Ashkenaz? How can one shul daven Sfarad within the same city? Answers, they're each considered to be their own locale, and that's fine. Eich yisnagu in yishar kolecha b'minim midinoso. How will it look if husband and wife continues and stay and stick with their own independent custom? Oshu shneim shavim hachmir. Should they both go to hachmir? It comes to Pesach, so we're all going to follow the chumas of Ashkenaz, and there's no kitnia. Oh, kechumas shneim dinos. Oh, ha'isha sricha lisnai k'minig abal. Does the wife have to follow the custom of her husband? Oh, ha'bal k'minig aisha. Or does the husband have to follow the customs of his wife? Those are all of our options. How do we deal with this very common situation? Sfaradi marries an Ashkenazi. Says the motion, this by the way is a very long, long, long tshuva. I cut and paste here for some of the highlights of the tshuva. Says the motion, this is toward the beginning, this is actually the first thing, first sentence, the first line of the tshuva, and then later you'll see more toward the middle section, the end of the tshuva. Hanachon nami yazdaik, it seems appropriate to me, the ha'isha tzricha lihisnai kimina gabal. The wife has to take on the customs of her husband. Bein l'chum or bein l'kula, across the board. Okay, but what's the halachic justification? Rav Moshe pulls from the Gemara in Perek Malchum Shemagu. The hadin minag, the holech mimakum l'makum, kishein daito lachsa l'makum harisha, noi kiminag hamakum shibolasham, bein l'kula, bein l'chum or kimufurish b'yardeas and reisha dal. Rav Moshe says, do you know how to handle this situation? A man and woman who marry is no different than an individual who leaves town to move to another city. And if he plans to stay in City B, which he now is a member of, all the customs from City A, which is his place of origin, are no longer. He moves from Russia to Lithuania. He moves from South America to North America, from Israel to America, vice versa. The minhagim that you left behind, you say goodbye to and they're gone. And you pick up all the new customs of place B, right? A Jew moves from America to Israel, he no longer keeps the second day Yantif, he only keeps one day Yantif. A Jew who moves from Israel to America, he picks up Yom Tov Sheni. It's a new... No, I'm talking about forever. That's already subject to a lot of machlokas. But fundamentally speaking, you change the minug of your place of origin, the place of destination that's called Leishtakeh Hashem that you're coming to. That becomes the minug that you pick up. So take a look, Rav Moshe uses that to explain that the same thing should apply with a man and a wife. V'lachein v'han isfuin. The same thing is true when it comes to marriage. Ein lecha holechas mimakum lemakum gal demizu. There's no greater example of going from place A to place B. V'ladayta shlolachter. And of course, it's considered once you enter the chuppah that you're not returning. This is your new home. The Rambam considers to be the difference between an Arusa and an Asua, a woman who's engaged to a woman who's married. An Arusa is called an Eshes Ish Bebeis Aviyah. And a married woman is called Eshes Ish Bebeis Baila. A married woman in the home of her father, and a married woman in the home of her husband. So now I am married, and now I take on all the customs of my husband, and I never have any intent to turn back. She'ein yecholaf lachzorba. And she has no intent to return. And says of Moshe in the Machshava be'alma shlo lachter nasa b'dinei hamakum shebal hashav. And even if I have a thought or a fleeting idea that I'm moving from point A to point B, that in and of itself is enough of a reason to change my customs to city B that I'm now a member of. Kol shekein be'isha shenise, certainly a woman who's married, shehu b'maisa shein b'yad lachter, she's not going to change that. She's not going to leave that status. Sheyesh aliyos b'dinei hamakom shehocha l'sham, and therefore she picks up the customs of her husband. V'lachei, concludes her motion, yeshchilukim in hagin ben beis avil beis bailah, they're different customs, from her father's home to her husband's home, yesh alino kiminek beis bailah be'lekula be'lechuma, she should pick up the customs of her father, of her husband, lekula or lechuma. So Moshe's reason for a in a situation where they're conflicting in hugging between husband, wife, and spouse, is that you follow the custom of your husband for the reason that it's no different than going to a new destination. And once you hit the new destination, you leave behind the custom of destination A, and you pick up the customs of destination B. That's the logic of emotion. There is precedent to this in earlier halakhic literature, besides for the Mishnah and the Gemara, there are Moshe's going back to Mashinagu. The Tashbeis has another svara as to why this is true, and he bases it upon the concept of Ishto Kigufo. Husband and wife are the same. A woman becomes like her husband and picks up all of the customs of her husband. Ishto Kigufo. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zechon Vracha, and this is quoted in the Sefer Yom Tov Sheni Kehilchosa, a contemporary Sefer, Rav Yochmiel Fried, who writes a different svara why a woman should pick up the customs of a husband. He says that in marriage there are different responsibilities. A woman has responsibilities to her husband, a husband has responsibilities to his wife. And there are different contractual binding aspects of the marriage. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that part of the woman's responsibility is that she takes the customs of her husband. That's a Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach svara. So you essentially have three reasons in the Achronim as to why and what to do in a situation where they're conflicting customs. Now, clearly, this is more and more common and popular today than it was earlier. Now, no, according to Moshe Feinstein and according to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, there's little halachic literature about conflicting and hugging in families because it rarely happens. Svarda married Svarda, Ashkenazim married Ashkenazim, and very rarely did you have an intermarried couple of Svarda and Ashkenazim. But as time went on and as people found themselves in a bigger city and the locales were becoming more heterogeneous as opposed to homogeneous, this was becoming more common.
So why don't we say, look, one of the ways we consummate a marriage by the husband taking the woman into his
mother. Rishut, yeah.
So by taking the woman into his rishut,
That's Ramosha. That's Ramosha says. Ramosha says the same way you go from city A to city B, you pick up the custom.
That's not that, but he just didn't say. Yeah. But that's marriage is that.
Yes, okay, but halachically speaking, it has the same guiding principle. So now, with based upon this logic, very good. What does it have to do with that?
One second. Don't these guys reflect the time when women weren't trained to have their own men hugging?
Not really. I don't. No, it's not. Every person has a minhag. Yeah, of course. No, every woman has her own minhag. Absolutely. She's coming from a serious place of minhag. But now what do? There's two minhagim that are conflicting.
But you're right. She didn't know
about them. That doesn't make a difference, whether she did or didn't. The point is she's coming from
any minhag.
Minhag Tefillah, minhag Pesach. She's coming from the famous, the family of the greatest halachic authority. The greatest halachic authority. Of course she has a minhag. She has a very serious minhag. So how do you handle that situation? And how does this apply to tshuva? As you said, Moshe is not dealing with tshuva in this tshuva. So many understand from this tshuva that the same thing should be true when it comes to tshuva. Just like when it comes to conflicting minhagim, a woman should take on the custom of her husband. So too when it comes to tshuva, the same thing should apply. That's what you glean from Moshe's tshuva. However, others suggest, based upon the latter reason that I gave you from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that if it's based upon a affirmation of what different parts of the relationship require, a husband can say, okay, you want to daven your own nusach? Daven your own nusach. It doesn't bother me. I can be mochel. I don't care. You want to daven nusach first? Daven nusach first. You want to daven nusach ashmas? Daven nusach ashmas. Whatever you want to do, do. Now, according to the motion, according to the Tashbeis, that would seem to be an impossibility because it's a halachic truth. Haholech mimakom lemakom, you take on the customs of the second town. But when it comes to the fact that I can be mochel, I can renege, and I can annul my responsibilities, if I'm not interested in that, I would be permitted to do so. If you take a look on side B, this indeed is the approach of some contemporary achron. If you look in footnote Dalit Sar, again, back in the Sefer Tzila Kehilchotar, so the first thing he quotes is Rav Moshe. in the footnote that ideally a woman, a married woman, should change her nusach hatfilah to the nusach of her husband. And he quotes the Moshe Rechaim, Chelak Alstom and Kufman Chet. Now, continue at the end of the line. V'chein shemat begon reyosu shom l'yashad zatzal, the l'yashad seems to have held similarly, according to the letter of the law, it would be appropriate for a married woman to change to the nusach of her husband. Ella, you can't force a woman to change her nusach hatfila. The hekdesh, she turned into ragam minuscha. She is so accustomed to davening in that nusach for many years. No different to that boy who was davening for 10, 15 years in Ashkenaz. Now you get time to go back to Tsar. Why should this married woman be any different? Maybe it would be appropriate that once the children become of age, that the parents should be davening the same exact nusach. But Rav Eliashiv has the same svara as the Achron had earlier, that if somebody came used to a particular nusach, to make them change that nusach would seem to be inappropriate.
Okay, but what about other home customs then?
So home customs is a shir in and of itself. Okay. When it comes to nusach hatzilah specifically, here you see that. I'm happy to talk about other home customs. Yeah, I'm writing now a whole play from the Haggim. So let me share with you a mice around. One of my Rebbeim went to ask the stipler going. Biakmi Sorin, can you ask me this question? He was marrying a woman from a Hasidic home. She davened Nusach Tsar, and he davened Nusach Hashanah. So he went to ask the stipler, does his wife have to change her Nusach Hatfila? And I'm going to quote you verbatim what the stipler said. Kol echad ve'echad yispalo b'nusach shalom. Everybody should daven in their own nusach. Everybody has their own nusach. Tzfarat, Ashkenaz, and this doesn't fall under the category, what we discussed earlier, of minhagim, conflicting minhagim within one house. Now, if you learned from Moshe Feinstein the way we learned from Moshe Feinstein the Shuvah, it would seem that if somebody were to have asked for Moshe, and I'm very curious, if there was somebody who asked for Moshe about conflicting nuskos hatzil between husband and wife, what Moshe would have said. Now, Rabbi Yashiv said, you can't force a woman to change her nusach. The stipler said, you can't do so. Would Rav Moshe have taken his tshuva regarding conflicting minhagim, generally, Pesach, and a variety of other different areas, would he have taken that regarding tefillah as well? But the stipler's response of kol echad yispal v'nusach shalom, I think is a fascinating one that we should consider, and that closes our discussion both via the relationship between different nuskos between a father and son, at the same time different nuskos between a husband and wife.
Still instructed, let's say it's a traditional show. It's got two souls there. There's an Ashkenazi show and there's a Yemenite.
Under one roof.
Under one roof. And the Yemenite show, I've been there a couple times on Shabbat, for a couple of Shabbat. They often don't have 10 men to start out with. So I've been the 10th man a couple of times, you know, and it's sort of weird.
In the Friday. Davening.
Wow, the Yemenite davening.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, you get used to what you...
Different religion.
Well, I don't know.
But, so next week, God willing, we're going to talk about different nuskos atzila within the same shul. So tonight we spoke about different nuskos within a family, and next week I want to talk about it. 2 weeks we'll want to talk about different nuskos in one shul. One person is Ashkenaz in a Sephardic shul. There,
we've had people like that here. And it's interesting. They don't necessarily have a job because they don't want
to have a different...
Have a different
yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about that. God willing, that'll be next question.